Let's dive in right now for a few minutes to the next Masechta, the third Masechta in Seder Taras, and that is Maseches Negayim, which is rooted in the Psukim in most of Tazria and Mitzora. And we've come across very some of these dinim in learning Maseches Chulin. The Mitzoras, of course, certainly fits into the world of Avos Hatama, another one of the very unique Avos Hatama. And you know from the Psukim in Tazria Mitzora, there are three types of major types of Tzaras. There's Tzaras of people, Tzaras in a person's body, which itself comes in a few different subtypes, different parts of the body, have some different details. Then there's Tzaras in clothing, and there's a Tzaras on a house. There's certain differences to each one, and certain overall similarities. The first 10 prakim of Maseches Negayim in total has 14 prakim, and the first 10 prakim are dedicated mostly to Nigei Adam, Tzaras in a person's body. The 11th parak focuses on the Negayim of clothing, and the 12th and 13th focus on Nigei Batn Tzaras in a house. We'll get back to the 14th parak at the end of our time together. Now, when we talk about Tzaras, so typically Tzaras comes in two stages. Let's talk primarily about the Nigei Adam, a typical Nigei Adam, typical situation of Tzaras in a person's body. What the Psukim and the Mishnah has made clear is that a certain presentation, you find a Nega, that we had a chance to discuss in the first parak of Chulin, a fellow presents with a Nega. So you present it to the Kohen, and the Kohen's going to see whether it's at least a Nega that's deserving of Hesker, of quarantine, of a checking period, and to see if it qualifies as a Nega whatsoever, that at least should call for Hesker. So you're typically looking at three major variables. One is the color, and one is the size. The third is the placement. It's a big topic at the beginning of the Masechta, are different colors. It's actually the opening topic, is what, for a typical Nega Tzaras on most skin, the typical Nega Tzaras in order to qualify has to be white. Se'eso salapacha so beheres, it's the opening topic. Arba maris negayim, what are the colors that qualify, which shades of white qualify for those three phrases in the Chumash? Se'es salapachas, or Beharis, and Mishnayos begin to talk about different, sort of like, you know, when you go to buy paint, to paint a house, you all of a sudden discover there are all these sub-shades of white. You know, there's cream, and there's parchment, and then there's a more snowy white, and then so on and so forth. There's this type of off-white and ivory white. If you're involved in painting houses, or you're involved in stationery, you begin to become sensitive to different shades of white, and that's a topic at the very beginning of the Masechta. How white is white enough that it qualifies to be a nega? And at what point do you say you're too far off of pure white to qualify? The second major issue is the question of size. A nega has to have a certain minimum size, a kigris, which halacha lamasa is, we assume, is the size of a penny. And number three is placement. Because that's the way the psukim already make it clear, that if you have a nor nega on most of the body, is going to be treated as a normal Nigei Adam. The Mishnayos say sometimes Nega in a part of a body that's normally covered by clothing might not qualify for Negam whatsoever. And then Negam that appear on skin which is healing from a wound or from a burn, Shchin or Michva, so they'll have sort of, it can be a Nega, but with its own unique quirk. Some of the numbers and some of the details are different. So we can talk about Nega on a bald spot. Bald spot itself may have a Machlokes Rishonim, to what extent does the bald spot itself automatically qualify as a nega, or at the very least, when a nega appears on a bald spot, it may have some different dinim than normally. But again, so the color, the size, and the placement are the three critical criteria for a nega to count at all. You bring the nega to the Kohen. That's another uniqueness that we've already discussed in Maseches Chulin, that the nega pronouncement has to be made by the Kohen. As a matter of fact, Mishnah say the Kohen might be in Hamaretz. He may need to bring along a non-Kohen Talmud Chacham who will tell him what the dinim are, but the Tumah, one of the uniquenesses of Negam, the Tumah is only sets in, the tumah is created by the kohen's pronouncement. That's why, as an aside, the Minchas Chinuch, we may have touched on this earlier in the year, Minchas Chinuch has a discussion whether or not tumas negam apply bizman hazeh or not. Now, if they do apply even bizman she'en beis hamikdash, it's incredibly important that a kohen should not say to someone, "You have a nega." Because as long as the kohen doesn't declare it, the nega doesn't set in. Those dinim appear of the kohen's pronouncement. Those dinim appear in the second parak, the rules of Re'iyas Negam, how the Kohen is supposed to look at and examine the Nega, and some of the dinim has pronounced that's in the second parak of Maseches Negam. So the Kohen is going to look at the Nega, and if it has the right color, the right size, the right placement, so he'll say, this is a Nega, requires Hesker. Over the course of a week or two of Hesker, the Kohen is going to be checking at the end of the week, and in the second week, to see if the Nega developed any Simane Tumah. Because in order to be muchlat, not just muskar, in a state of hesker, but muchlat, to be qualified as a full mitzora, so he has to, it's not enough that it's a nega, meaning of the right color, size, and placement, there actually has to be some simen tumah. The example of simane tumah, they vary by the different subtypes, the different categories of negam we've been talking about. Again, the classic nege or adam, so the classic nega on a fellow's arm, so there were up to three different simane tumah, any of which could push you from merely a nega into a muchlat. One is seyar lavan, if it's not just the right size and color, but it's growing white hair, at least two white hairs, or michya, ironically, if there's fresh skin inside, you have a ring of white around a core fresh skin, michya, fresh, healthy skin in the middle. That's also that bullseye pattern is also a simen tumah. And the third simen tumah is pisyon, if there's week over week growth, if it's spreading. So if you have any of those simane tumah, then it's not just a nega that requires hesker, but it actually becomes a mitzora muchlat, a confirmed mitzora. Obviously, two of those three simanim could even appear from the outset. The first appearance of the kohen, you could already have, you know, the nega with the seir lavan, or the nega with the michya. Pisyon is something you're going to see, you know, from 1 week to the next. If he makes it through his weeks of hesker without developing a simen tumah, so then the kohen gives him a free pass, a spiritual clean bill of health. If he does develop simen tumah, then he's getting muchlat. We're going to wait until the nega goes away. Now again, so as I've referenced, is the different categories of different types of tzaras, Adam, Begadim, Batim, and within Adam, different subtypes depend where in the skin the nega appears. And as I've mentioned, some of the details change in terms of the number of weeks of Hesker. Is it 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? And the color that we're looking for, is it we're looking for white? Are we looking for a yirak rak or a dam, a deep green or a deep red? And what are the simane tumah? All of those detailed questions, critical detailed questions, vary from one type of negam to another type of negam. Now, what's fascinating is in Mishnais in the third parak, sort of take you through each type of nega and give you the rundown on the dinim. Or habasar, so you have 2 weeks, and you have these three simanim as we were just discussing. Then habat shchinu michva, if you have the tzaras on a healing wound, and habat tzaras on a bald spot, and habat on begadim. And so the Mishnah is in the third paragraph very, very organized. It reminiscent a little bit of the style of Ezeu Mekoman, very, very organized, mesudar, and, you know, it's going to each one to give you a rundown of all the dinim. The first parak of... So that third parak already is sort of an old, you know, some of the Rishonim already point out that Ezeu Mekoman, the style of those Mishnais, in the fifth parak of Zvachim, is different than the style of most Pirkei Mishnais. Very, very Mesudar, very, very dense. And some of the Svarim suggests that it may be a much older parak of Mishnais. It may date back right to the Bayesheni period with the different, the more concise writing style. It's occurred to me in the past, the first parak of Negam is super, super concise and super, super dense. If you learn the first parak of Negam, it manages to pack in, it's hard to even describe Even more than Zeo Makomon, even more than the third paragraph of Gam. The first paragraph of Gam is like builds in loads of dinim into single sentences, reminiscent of a Mishnah in the beginning of Bava, first paragraph of Bava Kama. It's like the second or third Mishnah of Bava Kama is like that as well. So one gets the impression as though that may have been the, maybe going back to the Bayesheni period. That was sort of the original nusach, very, very concise nusach of a, you know, a many dinim of tzaras packed into just one parak. And then it could be during the Tkufas HaTanaim, they already developed the broader, the next two parakim, and then the rest of the Masechta is in a more typical style of Mishnayos. The last parak, I mentioned that the that Nige Adam runs through the 10th parak, the 11th parak about Nige Begadim, third parak, the 12th, 13th about Nige Batim, and then the 14th parak comes back to include Nige Adam, two more pieces of the puzzle. You see, the first 13 parakim are almost exclusively about defining what is the Av HaTumah. What's our situation? Would a person qualify as a mitzara, or a beged as a beged hamanuga, or a house as a bias hamanuga? The 14th parak, the last parak of Masechet Nedarim, looks at two other issues. Number one, as we've said in the past, the other issue in terms of an av hatumah is how does that av hatumah transmit his tumah? So earlier this morning we spoke about tumas meis in Masechet Alos, and have this new, you know, method of transmission called Ohel. So there's something similar, though not identical, for Tzaras. There it's called Tumas Bia. If the coming in, if a person walks in, Mishnayos give the example. I apologize. The dinim of these dinim are the end of the 13th parak. The end of the 13th parak, Mishnah is talking about some of the dinim of how a mitzora transmits his tumah, the tumah of bia. Let's say, for instance, parak Yud Gimel Pasuk Zayin. The Mishnah says that if you have an adam tameh, the mitzora is standing under a tree, and adam tar walks through. If I have bia, literal sense of entering. I enter, I'm an Adam Torah, I enter into the space where the Mitzora is, I become Tamir. But the reverse, the Mishnah says, is not the case. Unlike the mechanics are a little bit different than Ohel, if I'm an Adam Tahar, here I'm standing under this roof, and Adam, the Mitzora walks through, he's not Mitami. But if he's stationary and I walk through, then he is Mitami. So it's sort of like a little bit like Ohel, but with a twist. And the 14th parak, the last parak of the Masechta, turns its attention to an area of the third area of Tumah V'Tahara we haven't touched on yet, and that is the area of Darche Hatara, how a Mitzora, the Mitzora himself, the Ava Tuma, when his Tzaras is healed, what's the prayer after the Tzaras is healed? He needs to go through a process in order to become Tahar, in order that he will no longer be Metame people that he touches and so forth, in order that he should be allowed to re-enter the Beis HaMikdash. In general, we're going to discover as we progress through Seder Taras, that of the various Temeim, there's a minority of the Temeim have a stage called Mechusar Kapara. The Mechusar Kapara means that I need to bring a carbon as part of my Tahara process, at the end of the Tahara process, and until I bring that carbon, I may have gotten rid of most of my Tumah, but I'm still Mechusar Kapara, I'm still missing the carbon. And the Torah is an example of that. As the Mishnah has discussed, the Torah is a unique example of that. The Pesukim already say it's more than just bringing a carbon. You have the procedure with the two tziparim, one of which gets sent away, a procedure that involves Eitzeres and Ezov, a very unique procedure that the Mishnah has discussed in the last parak of the Masechta that allows the Mitzora to actually, after the Tzaras says he has gone away, to actually resume Tahara. Let's just end very briefly with Divrei Agada. You know, I mentioned this morning that Chazal talk about Negon Vahalos, today's two Masechtas, as sort of the epitome of hard, deep halacha. And they contrast it with Agada. Kalacha Etzel Negon Vahalos. Yet, ironically, both Negon and Vahalos are very, very rich and relevant Agada. The very, very end of the second parak of Nagam, and the Mishnah makes a comment, which is a din, but it has also been taken on Derech Drush. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah is talking in the second parak about the halachas of checking the nega, of the Kohen observing the nega. The Mishnah there says, call the Gohim Adon Roach Chusim Nega Atzma. You can take a look in anyone's nega except for your own. A Kohen cannot look at his own nega, and then further machlokas in the Mishnah is a Kohen allowed to look at the negam of other close relatives, but certainly the Mishnah says a Kohen cannot observe his own nega. I cannot paskin my own nega. That's a din. Many darshanim have taken that also in the larger sense. You know, kol negam adam roa chutz min nega atzma, that people can always see other people's faults, but it's very hard for a person to see his own faults. And that's why it's so critically important, the Bali Musar point out, to be open to feedback, to be open to constructive critique, and even to seek it out, to be oivis hatochachos, as we learned in the sixth parak of Avos. And of course, Ahalas, as I mentioned to some of you this morning, you know, we're standing only a few days away from the renewal and the refreshing of our Kabbalah Satorah. So, Chazal of that comment, the Pasuk in Chukah, Zos HaTorah, Adam Kiyamas Ba'ohel, which Al Pi Pshuto means, here are the dinim, the Torah, specifically the dinim of Tumas Ohel, Adam Kiyamas Ba'ohel. But the fact that it's phrased generally as Zos HaTorah, so Chazal say an additional layer of meaning is it's a statement about Torah in general. Zos HaTorah, here's how Torah works. If I want not only to have technically fulfilled the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, but to be zocha bekisra shel Torah, to be ambitious and to mamish be transformed by learning, in HaTorah miskayem esel b'misha meimis atzma oleh. I have to really ready to throw myself in and really knock myself out and really work hard. Real, consistent, ongoing investment of amal and yegiyah, meimis atzma oleh, and the ohel shel Torah, that is the key to zos HaTorah. And as we as we're pushing ourselves forward in this final Zman of Chazaras Hashana, now and we're looking ahead to the Zman of Kabbalah Satorah. This Shavuos is going to present unique challenges if I'm not yet able to go to shul, and I'm going to be learning many hours at home. It's going to have unique challenges, but powering through those unique challenges give us the opportunity for extraordinary, exceptional Kinyan HaTorah. We should talk about Zocha. We should talk about Zocha to be re-inspired to be Memis Atzmeinu al HaTorah in the coming days, in the coming weeks, and Mirtzim for many, many, many healthy decades.